620, 1320 WILS. Also tomorrow, the progressives coming together at the Michigan Progressive Summit. And Joe Sandberg is going to be there speaking here in Lansing at the Lansing Center tomorrow at 1:35 p.m. Joe is the founding investor of the meal delivery service Blue Apron and the co-founder of the revolutionary online bank Aspiration.com. And he's right here on 1320 WILS tonight. Joe, great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, your background was in equity management, right?
Well, I grew up in a low-income household raised by a single mom. And after college, I started my career in the financial industry because I needed to support my mom. But my heart has always been in changing the world and fixing problems. After I began my career in the financial industry, I turned my attention to building companies that I think are solving things that are broken and need to be fixed, like bringing people better food solutions through Blue Apron, or creating a financial firm that treats people like human beings, which is what we do at Aspiration.com.
Okay, but in your field, would you say most of the people you worked with were of the conservative bent?
In the beginning part of my career, I'd say so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what made you not go in that direction then?
Well, my mom raised us with a strong sense of social justice and a notion that when you see something that's wrong, you speak out and fix it. The first experience I had actually was when I was 8 years old. My mom and I remember we were watching this special together on 2020 about dictator Ceausescu in Romania and how he was mistreating the orphans in Romania. And I was so upset by that. This is when I was eight, that I wrote a letter to the dictator of Romania. And about a year ago, my mom dusted off a copy she had saved of the letter, and it read something like this. Dear Dictator Ceausescu, my name is Joey Sandberg. I'm 8 years old. I live in Villa Park, California, and I think you're a real jerk for how you're treating the orphans.
Well, tell me this, Joe. I'm curious because you see progressives many times demonizing conservatives and actually saying that they're heartless in some ways. Do you think that's going too far?
Well, I don't think we should call anyone those kinds of names. I think that the path forward is remembering we're all human and we're all trying our best and, we're all flawed.
How do you see the divide that this huge divide we're seeing between conservatives and progressives right now in the U.S., what's behind that then?
Frankly, I think the divide is more so a construct in Washington, D.C. than it actually is in the country. What I see in the country is this. 75% of us can't weather a $700 financial shock, which means 75% of American families are living in this constant state of financial stress and anxiety. That cuts across your political beliefs. It's something that brings us all together in a really distressing way.
Yeah, but conservatives would say that's a personal issue and personal responsibility. And what would progressives think about that then?
I think these constructs are, again, of D.C. rather than of Main Street. When people are experiencing financial stress and they're worried that a busted tire means that they're going to go into financial ruin or, a child getting pneumonia means they're going into financial ruin, they're really not thinking about progressive versus conservative. They're thinking human. And one of our ways forward as progressives is we have to bring people together around our common humanity. Okay. Without compromising our ideals and our values.
Right, but we also have to deal with financial realities. I assume you're a conservative, a fiscal person, right? Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely not. I'm proudly economically progressive.
Okay, but with your own finances also, you're not careful and conservative with your own money?
Well, obviously, we're all conservative with our own money in that we're mindful of making our budgets and our personal lives balanced. But being fiscally conservative in the matter of public policy has totally different meaning, as we both know. Right. And when it comes to public policy, I think fiscal conservatism has come to mean not caring about anyone but wealthy folks.
Okay, but when you see the national debt and where it is and where it's going, does that concern you in terms of what we can actually do to help people?
It concerns me, but what concerns me even more and what would be a much better antidote for the debt is that our economy isn't growing fast enough and we have too many among us who are living in a state of constant financial stress.
Okay.
If we brought economic security to everyone, we'd grow the economy a ton faster, and we'd be able to grow our way out of a debt problem.
Okay, well, one thing we're seeing is we're seeing the stock market reacting to President Trump going through the roof, and the prospect of tax cuts, that kind of thing, and deregulation. Where do you think that's going to take us, then?
I think tax cuts are going to make wealthy folks wealthier and leave more and more of everyone else behind in a constant state of financial stress. And I think it's the wrong course.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I also think it's bad for the economy, because here's the problem with the economy. People who need to spend money don't have money. And people who have money have run out of things to buy. And so if you remember that 70% of our economy is based on consumption, then of course the economy is going to be sluggish when mm-hmm. the people who need to consume have no money.
Okay,
the
but
right
what
course
about the concerns
will,
about
you,
making
you want to make the,
yeah, what about the fact, look, the problem it could end up where we just have a bunch of dependent people. We've seen that in many ways where we set up systems that provide money and help and people become dependent on them. How do we avoid that?
Except that's not what we've seen. And, you know, that's a failed and wrong theory from the right that's been disproven over the last 30 years by data. Let me give you an example. In the early 90s, there was this conservative notion that people were having more kids to get more welfare. And so conservatives across the country started these things called maximum family grants, which meant after you had a certain number of kids, you couldn't get any more welfare. And do you know what happened? People just had more kids living in poverty. And so now that we have data on this over the last 20, 30 years, we've been rolling back these failed conservative ideas like maximum family grants, because we know in truth that low-income folks, middle-income folks, we're all trying our best to mm-hmm. provide for our families. And this idea that, you know, you create the other that is dependent, it's just not actually borne out in the data and in reality. You know, I spent a lot of time going up and down California helping people get their earned income tax credit. 2 years ago, I got California to launch its first ever state earned income tax credit for people who make less than $14,000 and have kids. And I've met literally with thousands of low-income families across California.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is a greater degree of compassion and grace that I see among my entrepreneur friends who are fortunate to be wealthier.
So
that there's actually...
You're saying they have a better character in some way? Is that it?
What I'm saying is that this idea that low-income folks are dependent and taking from the system isn't true.
Okay.
And it comes from people who don't spend time in communities that are struggling.
So if we run out of money and the money just isn't there, I mean, what are we going to do at that point then?
Well, it's negative. It's a negative feedback loop that's afflicting us right now, which is the economy isn't growing fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And when the economy isn't growing fast enough, then you don't generate enough revenue to pay down debt. The way out of this is to get the economy to grow fast again. And considering that we have a consumer-based economy, the surest way to accelerate growth is to help people who need to spend get more money, which is why a program like the Earned Income Tax Credit, which I championed in California, is such an effective approach to helping lift up low- and middle-income people. Now, as a reminder, what the Earned Income Tax Credit does is provides a wage subsidy for folks who are working. It provides a positive incentive for people who work a lot, make a low income, and helps them make more from their work. It makes work pay better. And what happens when people get their earned income tax credit? They spend it in their local communities to buy more food for their kids, clothing, and pay utility bills, provide for transportation,
and
it creates more dynamism in the economy.
Tell me this, Joe. Once you, let's say, even finish high school, how much did you need to depend on government yourself, would you say, in your life?
A bunch. I got a lot of subsidized student loans in college. You know, I was fortunate to get a lot of financial aid. You know, I left for college with less than nothing. As so many of us go to college with less than nothing and depend on, you know, all of the collective goodness that we provide people through subsidized federal student loans, through the financial aid that mm-hmm. our colleges provide.
It's Joe Sandberg, the philanthropist, investor, and entrepreneur, and the founding investor behind the meal delivery service Blue Apron, which I've tried myself. Also co-founder of the revolutionary online bank Aspiration.com. Joe is speaking tomorrow, Saturday, at the Lansing Center at the Michigan Progressive Summit at 1:35 p.m. That's tomorrow at the Lansing Center. Joe Sandberg here on 1320 WILS. Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about what's ahead for the Trump administration. That's next.